ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. Today, my guest is Zach LeBeau, the CEO and co-founder of Singular DTV, a blockchain entertainment studio that launched its tokenized ecosystem in October 2016. And, fun fact, in just 15 minutes, it generated a crypto community record of $7.5 million. He's also the co-creator of the Centrally Organized Distributed Entity, or CODE for short, a revolutionary new type of decentralized business structure developed in association with Swiss crypto valley law firm MME. And if that wasn't enough, he's truly a Renaissance man, writing novels, producing music, animating programming, taking a detour to work in construction and development, launch an energy startup in West Africa, return to the U.S., direct a feature film, and launch a clothing and accessories line. So he pretty much makes everyone else in the universe look like a slacker. Zach, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, and you also were on an episode of Star Trek? Crazy. Crazy busy. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to talk around blockchain and your new venture. And before we dive in completely, when talking about blockchain, so things don't get lost in the jargon, I was wondering if in simple terms you could set the foundation for our conversation around what is blockchain and how can we use this technology to challenge the current structure of the entertainment industry.
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me here. It's a pleasure. So, diving right into blockchain technology, you know, there's something happening at the fringes of computer science right now. And what's happening is best explained as decentralized computing. And you can call it blockchain technology, but really what's happening is decentralized computing. Blockchain technology comes from that. Mm-hmm. And there are thousands and thousands of us around the world who are building applications powered by decentralized computing.
Okay.
And the reason why this is so important is that decentralized computing allows for the consolidation of functions and mechanisms under one roof, so to speak, under a single user interface that wasn't possible before with the way the internet is structured and with the way present software systems are structured. And in addition, decentralized computing creates a whole new set of functions that didn't exist before. So really, I think the easiest way to explain what's happening here with blockchain technology, what we're doing is upgrading the internet. We're upgrading software systems with the new set of functions that decentralized computing make possible. Now, specifically, with Singular DTV, we're taking the entertainment approach. So we're creating a number of tools from development to distribution that empower artists and creators, producers, and entertainment investors.
Right. Now, one of the things I just read today, it was sort of fortuitous, in the Harvard Business Review, there was an article and it posits that blockchain wasn't so much a disruptive technology, but rather a foundational one, and that it has the power to create new foundations for our economic and social systems, and it'll have a huge impact, but that their argument was that it would take decades to seep into the systems, and they compare the adoption to the transmission control protocol, internet protocol, that laid the groundwork for the internet. And do you think this is a fair comparison? I mean, they said decades, and for me, it seems like it's going to be faster than that. But you tell me.
Yeah, you know, it's difficult to find reference points to what's happening to blockchain technology, so I can understand why the comparison's being made. I, too, think it's going to happen much faster, much sooner. You know, this is just the way our civilization is accelerating closer and closer to this exponential, you know, curve upward, primarily due to technology. So,
right. Now, so just for the people who aren't really very familiar. In basic terms, the blockchain technology, is it fair to say it's a distributed database which allows for peer-to-peer communication without having to have these separate databases and things and intermediaries that it allows? Mm. Is that a fair way to describe it? I'm just trying to think for people who this is a new concept, and we've talked to folks from Ujo Music, but not everybody listens to every episode, so I like to have it be a little, you know, self-contained.
Sure.
It's a technology. People get confused sometimes between blockchain and Bitcoin. So what is the relationship between the money, the technology, and then what you're doing with it?
Okay. Well, to back up to what you were saying first, that is a fair way to describe it, how you just described it. The number one most important thing, there's a couple different things that are really fundamentally important with blockchain technology that make it so revolutionary or evolutionary.
Okay.
Number one, it's the consensus process, the consensus algorithm, how the blockchain updates data and information across the entire network. And really, that brings in the second most important thing, is the convergence of data and network.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, that doesn't exist. In the internet, it's basically made up of, you know, siloed, centralized databases that interact or connect with other siloed, centralized databases. There's no network data convergence. So what we have now is just a bunch of dumb systems.
Right.
Blockchain technology allows for the convergence of data, the convergence of network, and then that opens up the possibility for all these smart systems to occur because they're all interacting with each other and they know exactly all the data that is flowing through the blockchain. There's no siloed separateness. There's that ability for these smarter societal systems to occur because we have the information at our fingertips interacting with every other interface of that information, really to give us, you know, it's I see the information turning into knowledge, which turns in the ability for us to be more aware of our society and how everything works, everything from resource management, for example, an interconnected blockchain resource management structure could theoretically help end hunger on the planet.
Right.
Just because we have access to all that data, we're more aware of cause and effect. And that's vitally important.
Right. Bringing it, I mean, obviously the impacts across politics, healthcare, food, as you mentioned, but if we're going to be very sort of narrow in our approach and look just simply at entertainment and media, which is still a pretty big landscape to look at, one of the things, I guess, when the internet first launched was one of the reasons for Napster, for instance, is because it wasn't possible to have payments, right? I mean, there was no security and we couldn't do credit cards. And then once we developed the security and we could do credit cards, it still price points, it wasn't kind of micro payments. You couldn't do that. Now, one of the benefits, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm a neophyte with all of this, is that blockchain allows you to have micropayments easier, correct?
Yes, that's one of the benefits. You mentioned Bitcoin earlier as well, and how that relates to blockchain technology. Well, Bitcoin is the godfather of all this. Bitcoin started this whole thing off, and it was Satoshi Nakamoto's consensus algorithm, consensus process, that inspired everyone in the decentralized computing field.
Right.
What Bitcoin does really, really well is that it acts as digital money. And, you know, the more people that use it, the more value it has, the higher the price goes. But that's pretty much the only thing that it does really well. We attempted to build, SingularDTV attempted to build our tokenized ecosystem on Bitcoin technology in 2014, but our programmers couldn't get the functionality we needed in our tokenized ecosystem because Bitcoin was too simple. It was just a use case to start the deluge of decentralization, this movement, you know, to start this on the planet.
So you're on the Ethereum system, right? Is that?
Yes. Now, Ethereum, for example, has been specifically created to build complex systems and applications on it. So where we can't do certain things on Bitcoin, Ethereum is that protocol that theoretically should allow us to build a decentralized world, or at least a hybridized, centralized, decentralized world, because there's inherent benefits from centralization and decentralization. And a coupling of those can help take our society, our civilization, to that next evolutionary level.
Right. Eventually, I'd like to circle back and talk about the Internet of Things and how these two things can connect to one another. But before I go off topic completely, I wanted to pull ourselves back again to the film industry and what this means for creators, small scale indie artists. One of the things is often if you're the content creator, monetizing your content is very tricky. If you have a great documentary, you know, how do you get it out to people? How do you get the money? How does it flow back to you? This really empowers creators and takes out middlemen, yes?
Yes, that's correct. It does. You know, what we're building, what Singular DTV is building, is an ecosystem of 11 different modules. And these modules are intended to lay the foundation for a decentralized entertainment industry. So these 11 modules are hubs for decentralized applications. Everything from module number 1, which is our rights management gateway, all the way to module number 11, which is our decentralized distribution portal.
So can anybody jump in at any point? I guess what's the gatekeeping? You know, there's been a lot in the news around Facebook coming under fire because of fake news. And for a long time, it resisted being categorized as a media company. It was simply a platform. But it really has to adapt to the fact that it is a media company, that there then become certain moral obligations, if you will. Now, how do you, you know, the whole point is that we don't have centralization in this blockchain situation. And yet, how do we avoid having bad actors? And is there a gatekeeping function just in terms of, you know, there are bad actors out there who will do bad things. And how do we keep the technology in a way that it's beneficial without empowering, you know, child traffickers or what have you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, our platform, when it's in full swing, will be permissionless, which means that anyone around the world will be able to upload their content, create their own brands and channels, and interact with all of our modules in a decentralized way. But in the beginning, as we roll out our platform this year, we're curating it. We're creating a certain permissioned style and aesthetic. So we are bringing on very specific film and television content.
Right.
We are beta-ing it so that we can make sure that our platform is reliable and functional and scalable.
Well, I suppose now, also so that you create the demand and the interest. I mean, for instance, I see an immediate application for how YouTube, how people who deal with YouTube right now and might think, gee whiz, why do I give some of my, if I have, you know, 83 million followers, why am I giving any revenue to anybody else?
Yep.
So why don't I port over here? And if I bring my 83 million followers, guess what? All of a sudden you have tapped into oftentimes the digital native population. And those people are really explorers and they play and they really, it's sort of the use case, you know, you make it with them, then there's your future. So is that part of the population you're looking at bringing over?
When Singular DTV launches this year, we definitely will be showcasing independent artists with large followings to show the world this new model and how it works, and that it does give the artist, the independent producer, more freedom and control and over the entire process from the rights management. Our rights management gateway is vitally important for this because it does manage the rights, revenue, and royalties of the content placed on our platform.
Right.
And it also, the creators also benefit from instantaneous revenue collection as well, which is just, you know, just a couple of the features of our modules on our platform.
Right, right. So networks and studios, I would see that that would also be another component part. And yet I work with these folks, and they're often very controlling over their IP. So how, when you're having a conversation with them about, you know, this is the future, this is how it revolutionizes, what are your selling points? And does piracy and the avoidance of piracy help in that argument?
Yeah, it's interesting because a couple of years ago, the entertainment industry didn't want to talk to us at all about blockchain technology and our plans. But we've seen a total 180 happen recently, and now more and more companies, studios and production companies are becoming interested. You know, originally Singular DTV was envisioned to empower the independent artist, those that have been kept out by the gatekeepers, or those with, you know, different types of styles and voices that aren't part of the pop culture.
Sure.
You know, our platform's a place for them. But recently, we're starting to see some interest from, well, one studio in particular, and a number of other entities in Hollywood, including some publishing companies. Now, these, you know, these businesses, these entities have a lot less pain points than the independent artist does, okay? And they're part of the problem. And, well, I shouldn't say they're part of the problem, but they're definitely ingrained. Their business model is ingrained.
Well,
and the intermediary.
Sure, their legacy system is designed to create a business that profits with the existing structure. So, you know, they, I guess it's, are you inviting the fox into the hen house? Or, you know, who's the fox and who's the hen in the situation?
Yeah. You know, in that case, to go along the ethos of decentralization, everyone is welcome to decentralize. So we're not building a Singular DTV to compete. We're just building an alternative. And, you know, we're going about it under the premise that in the next 10 to 20 years, you know, because, you know, augmented reality is coming, virtual reality is coming, formats of film and television are changing. Technology allows for, you know, you to produce film and television content quicker, cheaper, faster. We're operating under the premise that in the next 10 to 20 years, there will be more entertainment content produced than in the entire history of the entertainment, entertainment industry. And it'll be platforms like us through blockchain technology that organize it, list it, manage it, and allow people to interact in this ecosystem in a decentralized manner.
Here's a question for you. One of the things that, you know, a lot of companies make their revenue off of is the data, the use data. You know, who's watching what, how much is being watched. That's why we have a lot of walled gardens, why people don't necessarily want to share, they don't want to join up, because that's sort of the secret sauce. It's where they make their money.
Yep.
So is any of that capturable by your organization? And then also, what is your, like, what is your revenue model? Do you get a piece of the Ethereum? How do you make money to underlie building this whole thing? I mean, it's not out of the goodness of your heart, or maybe it is, but, you know, what's your revenue stream?
Well, let me answer the transparency aspect, because transparency is really inherent, you know, a fundamental principle of decentralization. On Singular DTV, for example, on our platform, you'll be able to integrate into a fully transparent data calculation system, but also you might not want to be transparent, and we have functions that can do that as well. Yeah, the revenue model. Okay, so of our 11 modules that make up the Singular DTV ecosystem, only 3 or 4 of them right now are public. Okay. So we're keeping the rest of them private until we launch, just for certain strategic reasons.
And when is launch for you?
Well, we are going to begin launching our modules in May of this year.
Okay.
And we will be rolling them out all the way through until October, November.
Okay.
And, you know, our monetization strategy, our revenue model is, you know, all of our modules require our proprietary token, Singles, and or Ether in order to operate. Now, ultimately, we want it to be as convenient and seamless for the users as possible. So we're ultimately going to achieve a payment gateway where you can pay with whatever you want and have no idea that this Ether Singles, our token conversion, is going on underneath the hood. So what that does is a couple different things. All of our modules that require a proprietary token, the more they're used, the more utility and value the token generates. You know, we have launched 1 billion singles tokens into the Ethereum blockchain ecosystem, and that represents every single aspect of our company.
So is that across the entire Ethereum world, so that even if you're not sort of sitting in singular DTV, you can get a single token and just sit on it? I mean, I guess I think about currency trading and speculation in the, you know, geopolitical world, will we have that in the cryptocurrency world?
Yeah, you're going to see really one of the greatest attributes of Ethereum and blockchain technology is its ability to produce tokens that are programmable. And, you know, tokenize anything, tokenize everything. You know, this allows you to be your own economy. This allows you to, Singular DTV, for example, our 1 billion singles tokens are programmed with our IP, with our terms and conditions, even with revenue distribution. So you need singles tokens and or Ether to operate the modules. The more you use singles tokens, the higher the value will go. But also, we do have very specific revenue generating methods for each module. For example, our distribution portal will be taking a small percentage of each transaction. What happens is when we generate this revenue, it shows up in the interface of the singles token holders. They see that revenue immediately show up, and they can instantaneously withdraw that revenue as well.
And they withdraw it into cold, hard local currency? Like if I'm in the States, I want dollars. If I'm in England, I want pounds.
Right now, what the process is that we generate revenue and distribute it in Ether, the cryptocurrency, or the crypto representation store of value, Ether. And then there's a number of different ways you can take that Ether and turn it into US dollars or pounds, euros, won, etc.
What's interesting there is, I suppose, it's almost like a commodities market, or really a currency. The relationship between Ether and your home currency, your home country currency, that could fluctuate, yeah?
Well, you know, we look at it less as a currency, and this is one of the things where everything is evolving toward.
I'm getting really hung up on it. I'm sorry. I'm like, trying to follow.
No, that's all right. Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of get that.
You know, I think we should probably, I don't know, maybe try to cover that again somehow.
I think so. Let's.
The interesting thing is that this is 1992, 93. Of the internet as far as blockchain technology is concerned. So there are so many things that are emergent and theoretical right now. We've actually got some real test cases and real use cases. There are things that are practical. There are things that are out working right now. You know, as I mentioned, we're rolling our platform out in 2017. This really is a watershed year for blockchain technology, as a number of these companies that have been working on decentralized applications for the last few years launch their applications, launch their companies, launch their products. So it's going to be very, very exciting. There are certain things right now that aren't as efficient in decentralization as they are in centralization, because the bridges have not been built to connect the two yet. One of the things is getting fiat currency into cryptocurrency. It's a highly regulated, highly complicated thing to do right now that a lot of people are working on. And it's getting simpler and simpler by the month.
Well, I would think because our banking and the insurance, that they will sort of pave the way and you'll be able to piggyback on the developments and protocols that they put into place. I guess one of the things that's interesting is, so your business model will take a small piece of the Ethereum, let's say, in distribution, but everything will be transparent. And that's really the key, is transparency. Is that...
You know, decentralized computing, it offers a lot of really inherent, important things to exist. Those things, for example, transparency is one of them. Transparency, peer-to-peer interaction, and immutability, uncensorability as well, an instantaneous convergence between the data and network. It's really all about the consolidation of so many different functions and mechanisms. to be controllable, to be accessible under a single interface. And it creates all these new set of functions as well. And, you know, what we're finding is that if you develop blockchain technology through a centralized point of view, you're only skimming the surface of the potential of what decentralization can really do.
Sure, of course, of course. And so, and that's really interesting. And so you want diversity of development in order to really serve a diverse population and have decentralized service. It's interesting. Can we circle back a little bit to piracy? Because I've been, you know, one of the things I've been looking at is piracy and young millennials' love of piracy and unremorsefulness about their piracy. And part of what we hear anecdotally from the groups that we survey is that it has to do with access and experience. You know, that they aren't necessarily, I mean, they'll spend money, obviously, look what they fork over for a phone. It isn't necessarily the spend, it's that they want to go to one place and have access to everything. So can blockchain help solve that problem in terms of both protecting the visual content, but also providing a place that they don't have to rely on piracy because they have access? Is that sort of where it's going?
Well, as long as you can watch a movie or a television episode on your computer or your TV, wherever, it can be pirated. So our focus has never really been to combat piracy. It's about making a non-regionalized, international, universal entertainment portal where you can go and have access in a very convenient way.
Because see, I think that combats the piracy. I mean, I don't think
that's what we think. Yeah. That's our perspective on this as well. Convenience is the number one thing that.
Yeah. It's interesting. So what is the first module to go live for you?
Well, we are going to showcase the functions and features of our rights management gateway in May.
Okay.
And a couple other surprise features as well that we'll be announcing a couple weeks before launch.
Okay.
And then this is all leading up to in October, November, when we launch our decentralized distribution portal.
And that's really where the consumer gets excited because they see it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, definitely a different kind of consumer will be able to use our rights management gateway and some of its other features. But ultimately, you know, our mission is to be able to represent every single language on the planet and to have this non-regionalized universal entertainment portal where you can go to watch anything and everything. And at the beginning, though, what we're doing is, of course, we're launching our platform for English-speaking audiences, but we're mirroring everything we're doing with our English-speaking platform with our Chinese platform as well.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, in the back of my head, I'm like, it's going to be China. It's going to be China. Fantastic.
Yeah. No, definitely. And, you know, we're very excited from, you know, regarding the reception we've gotten in China so far. We do have an office in Shanghai. We do have people on the ground there working for Singular DTV and building this there. So when the English-speaking platform launches, the Chinese-speaking platform launches, and it's just been an amazing experience making that happen. And one of the most interesting things is we have not encountered the intermediaries that help create the barriers that I think traditional legacy film companies in Hollywood encounter that make it difficult for them as well.
I got to tell you, I'm so excited for this thing to go live. I can't even tell you. And also, I'm curious, who are your competitors? Are there people who are going to market with similar blockchain strategies?
Well, you know, again, Gabriella, we don't really see ourselves as having competitors. We're just building that alternative. And I'm saying that because there's not another company out there that we know that's building an ecosystem like this.
Uh-huh.
One of the really vital, important things that we've discovered is that specialization goes against the ethos of decentralization. You know, you can very quickly, very easily develop yourself into a wall, basically.
Yes.
And if you specialize too much, it's a very centralized way of thinking, then you will be rendered obsolete quite quickly, as we've been finding in a number of of applications and ventures that have sprouted up in the last year or two and are now pivoting.
Right.
But it's really, really important. So, for example, you know, we incorporate this anti-specialization philosophy into Singular DTV and what we do because decentralization lends itself to that. And it doesn't really matter what kind of resources you have, I think, or how powerful your company is. If you're looking at blockchain technology from a centralized point of view, you're just skimming the surface. I was giving a keynote speech at Microsoft last year, primarily about our rights management gateway. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman comes up from the audience and he asks me, he says, you know, you guys are spending $7.5 million on your platform and only a portion of it is going to rights management. How can you compete with so-and-so who's spending $100 million? And, you know, I asked, are they using blockchain technology? And he said, no. And I was like, what a waste of $100 million. It's just like, what a waste of $100 million.
Wow.
And, you know, it's so important because, you know, I challenge you, you know, look at the world through eyes of decentralization, you know, and you will start to see new methodologies and processes that empower every single aspect or can empower every single aspect of your life, of your business, of the world, just through the decentralized methodologies and processes that you can walk down. And I think that's really important. You know, it's like taking the red pill and going completely down the rabbit hole. That's how it felt to me when I started down this entire, you know, journey of decentralization, of discovering decentralization, because it's like this eye-opening thing on a weekly basis.
It's crazy. When you sent me all those things to read, I was like, I became a bit of a nut. Everybody I talked to, I would grab them and say, this is the future. This is what's going to happen. This, it's everything. It's amazing. And people are like, yeah, okay, chill out, relax. But I really think it's truly, the implications are phenomenal. But anyway, you know, I have used up so much of your time. Do you have?
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes, please.
Actually, sorry.
Do.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, Singular DTV, we're also creating our own original content.
Oh, and
we're a studio. Yeah. We've been doing this, you know, we started doing it because, you know, this content served as the use cases to build all of our smart contract systems, our modules. One of them, our flagship series, television series, is this epic sci-fi adventure called Singular. And basically what it does is it maps out decentralization scaling, evolving into artificial intelligence systems that gain consciousness and show us the way to a technological singularity that we human beings embrace, and it takes us, evolves us to a higher dimensional state of being from what we are now, Homo sapiens, into what that next level of evolution will be that we end up evolving into. For the series, we're calling it Homo Transcendens.
Hmm.
So it's for us, decentralization isn't just a movement as well. It's an inspiration for us to try to see how it can impact our lives and the evolution of our society and civilization. And we're encapsulating that into a television series that takes place from 2021 all the way to 2061, for example. So that's quite
very
exciting
cool.
for us
well,
as,
I find,
as well.
I find it interesting how the genre of science fiction actually does feed into the ethos of blockchain and the distributed database thinking. I find it really interesting that because it's science fiction, how understanding some of the stories, the sort of origin tales, how that influences people's thinking around the technology. I mean, the creation stories of that fiction, how it actually feeds into and informs how people are approaching the technology. It's an interesting thing. Anyway, I've really talked your ear off. Thank you so much. That's been really fun.
Yeah, thank you.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who have helped to bring the program to life. First, my friend Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, many thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guest, Zach LeBeau. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.